Welcome to the Nature Reliance Podcast, where we explore the history and practical experience of the great outdoors and discover new ways to connect with nature. I'm Craig Cottle, your guide through the fascinating world of natural living and survival skills through experiential education and interviews. Today's episode is brought to you by the Nature Reliance School Online Membership, an immersive online learning experience designed for outdoor enthusiasts just like you. Are you passionate about the outdoors? Do you crave more knowledge about disaster readiness, wilderness survival, bushcraft, tracking, and nature awareness? If so, the Nature Reliance School Online Membership is your gateway to a community of like-minded individuals, all dedicated to learning and sharing essential outdoor skills. With the Nature Reliance School Online Membership, you get exclusive access to a wealth of resources, including expert-led tutorials, interactive webinars, and a library of engaging courses, downloadable books, and documents. Whether you're a beginner or an experienced outdoorsman, there's always something new to learn. So don't wait. Click on the link below to join the Nature Reliance School Online Membership today. Embrace the wilderness, enhance your skills, and become part of a community that values nature as much as you do. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
Hey gang, this is Tracy, and I'd like to welcome you to another Nature Reliance Media Podcast. This podcast is being supported by Outdoor Core Online Class, Foraging for Fun, Eating Weeds. You can access the class with the link provided in the comments for this podcast, or go to our website at naturereliance.org and click on classes.
This is Craig Cottle. We're going to start doing a series of podcasts that I think we're going to end up calling Craig's Campfire Chats. You know, if you ever spend much time in the woods, you know, there's a lot of really good, important, and sometimes just downright fun conversations that happen around a campfire. And so what we wanted to do is bring that to our virtual friends and family and followers here on the Nature Reliance Media Podcast. So I'll be doing those on a regular basis moving forward. Really want to thank you for being here with us. You can expect from these Craig's Campfire Chats, if you will, discussions on serious topics, maybe some discussions on sillier topics, but everything is going to be focused on how you can be more comfortable in the outdoors. Today, I have a pretty good set of what I would call the top five things that I find that people have major problems with when they go in the outdoors. And more importantly, I have solutions for you to solve these problems. Before we get into all that, let's get a word from our sponsor for today's podcast. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. You like this podcast, don't you? And you're thinking about doing a podcast yourself. Let me tell you how easy it is to do this with Anchor. First off, the money's right. It's free. Zero cost. Secondly, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Bonus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now, as we move forward into Craig's Campfire Chat today, again, we just came off of just what I would consider a fantastic weekend. We had the honor at Nature Reliance School to be hosting in Kentucky the Green Beret Project. If you're not, I'll have a link in the description below. Is a nonprofit organization that is run and operated by Green Berets, and they have other staff members that have not been Green Berets as well, but primarily run by Green Berets. What these gentlemen have done is they go into different parts of the country and they find young men in need and young ladies in need, and they do what they can to lead them, guide them, mentor them, and a host and quite a range. I learned a lot more about this program this weekend discussing what it is that the Green Beret Project does while we were in the field with them. This group came out of Delaware. They came to Kentucky. Just kind of a weird way that we got connected, if you will. I used to do some training, backcountry skills, survival training, and man tracking training with the DEA. Several years ago, I met a gentleman there, and who will go nameless at this point in time. We had one of those campfire chats right there. We had a campfire at night after class was over, and me and this gentleman sat on the tailgate of my truck and had, you know, one of those just, yeah, one of those conversations where we found solutions for the world, the world's problems right there on the tailgate, which often, again, happens around a campfire. Well, this gentleman left the DEA. I think he retired. He had been a Green Beret before he went to the DEA. Then he left the DEA, and he did some other work. And he eventually, after that work, found himself being recruited to work for the Green Beret Project. And that gentleman has just done fantastic work guiding and directing what it is that the Green Beret Project does. After he got to the Green Beret Project, he had contacted me and said, "Hey, you remember that conversation we had on your tailgate at the DEA camp?" And I do. I did remember at the time when he was calling me. And he said, "Well, I've got an opportunity for you." He had a couple of the folks that work for the Green Beret Project came down. They brought 9 young men to me. I found these guys to be just fantastic guys. The staff that worked for the Green Beret Project, as well as these young men. It actually, quite frankly, to be honest with you, just blew me away at the level of difficulty that they have living daily life. You know, stepping over body bags to come to this camp. They're, you know, we were talking about shootings, and in one particular neighborhood where a couple of these young men lived, they know of people, not just read on the news, they know of people in their neighborhood. 2 to 3 times a week they get shot. An aggressive neighborhood, and we talked about literal survival in an urban environment and how to avoid it, what kind of things that they were doing to avoid that. It was humbling to me. It was educational to me. I learned a lot, and I feel like I shared some skills with them. Well, I know I shared some skills from a mentoring perspective, from a leadership perspective that I believe will help them, as well as definitely they came to me to learn how to do wilderness survival. And it was there as a means of just a couple things. Number one, having some fun, getting in the outdoors. Number two, just learning how to, as I often say, and you've heard me say oftentimes on the podcast and videos and whatnot, and especially those of you who listen to Come to Class, just embrace the suck. You know, sometimes things get hard and you got to learn how to get past them and you got to move forward. Now, these young men, one of the things that's interesting about these young men is they don't just pick kids up and bring them to something like this. The young men that were at this particular camp are those who had earned a right to be there. They CrossFit together. They BJJ together. They do a landscaping business together. Not all of them do all things, but they have quite a community of young men and actually young women as well that do all these different things, working on mind, body, and spirit. And it's just a fantastic organization. So again, I would recommend you click on the link below for the Green Beret Project, check into them. But here's the thing. These young men are coming to me. Some of them have never spent a night outside. Some of them have never been out of their neighborhood, let alone Delaware. You can imagine that coming for a bunch of young men from a primarily African-American community coming into Kentucky. If you're not familiar with how that would go down, there's some legitimate concern. And so what we wanted to do is, number one, we wanted to make sure that any fears that they had, and I'll discuss this in a minute. I don't really talk about it as being fears because you don't want to do that, because typically, especially young men, don't want to admit that they're afraid of anything. So I'll discuss that in a minute. But we wanted to find out what kind of things concerned them, and then find solutions for those concerns. We got together, and what I wanted to do was just run down 4 or 5 things that I put together for this group. And it's no secret, I do this for every group that has concerns like these. It's not just these young men, but I wanted to point out the Green Beret Project because these are kids that have never been outside for the most part, never been in the woods, never been on a creek, and stuff of that nature. And so there's a certain amount of them being uncomfortable that we had to overcome. First things first, one of the things then that got there, they ended up getting there on Friday evening, and they were going to be there till late Sunday afternoon. And so when we get there, first thing we're going to do is, and I've said this for years, and I talk about it sometimes in classes at Nature Reliance School, is that there is an incredible draw for people when they come to a course and they're spending the night outside and they're not comfortable to something that is known from their community, from their way of life. And what I mean by that is that you can literally watch people that come to, let's say, a Nature Reliance School class. If in our level one classes, we try to make them camping trips such that it's just a fun camping trip, learning topics. We don't thrust them in the middle of a survival situation in a level one course, for example. And that's what we were doing with these young men. You'll see people go back to their cars because that's from their world. Sometimes people will, you know, if we take a lunch break or something, people will literally go back and sit in their car to eat lunch. Sometimes people will just go to and from their car several times, even though everything they need is already with them. And so it's just one of those unique things that as this group of kids, they actually had an RV that was donated to them for the weekend for their use. And they had a big, huge van that most of them came in. They had about five or six individual tents, couple of communal tents where there was two or three. And then there was one large, massive tent that the leaders, the two gentlemen that were leading, were sleeping in. And so first things first, I want to get them something that they're familiar with, something that resembles a home. We set up their camper. We made sure that the van was close by. We started setting up tents. After we got all that done, they feel like they've got a structure that, even if they're not completely familiar with how a tent works, they have something that they can get away. They have a place that is theirs. And so for kids that primarily live indoors and don't spend a lot of time outside, immediately what I noticed was a lot of the kids went to their tents and got in there by themselves. And they were literally having conversations with all of us hanging out in the camp from their tent. And so that just made them feel comfortable. And I'm okay with that, you all. I want to make that abundantly clear. That's something that all of us, for the most part, have that we take with us that make us feel comfortable, familiarity that is important. You know, for me, it's, you know, obviously I've said this for years, but it's a knife. And it's I brush my teeth. I tell myself when I brush my teeth in the mornings that I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof and I'm okay. Let's go get the day. Let's crush this. Let's do this kind of thing. I do that at home and I just carry that over into the woods. And even when I've been in situations where I don't have a toothbrush and toothpaste, I will brush my teeth with some sort of a limb or some sort of cleansing agent from the environment. And I do the same thing. It's just my way that I tell myself, yep, it's time to go. It's go time. Let's rock and roll here. That was number one thing that I did to help give them some calm. Now, let's look at these five things that seem to be areas that most people have trouble with, and I'll find solutions for you. Here's the list of five. Number one, nighttime sounds. Get a lot of people that are, particularly those that are unfamiliar with an area, one of the things that they have concern with are these sounds, and they don't know what it is. We'll discuss that in a moment. Number two is sleep. What kind of things do they have that they can sleep with that'll give them some comfortability? That was a subject that we ran into a little trouble with this group, but it's one of the things that I would recommend some things to you in just a moment that'll help you. Food, that's always something that can help people overcome their anxiety, their apprehension to being in the outdoors. Four is what I call fear of the unknown. And number five, when things get rough and you're tired, how do you handle that? So let's break these down. So the first thing here's, I'm going to give you a bunch of Nature Reliance School secrets here, you all. So take note, utilize these in your families. If you mentor groups, then utilize these in your mentoring groups. And that way you can help other people spend more time outside and do so more safely and comfortably. So nighttime sounds, literally what I do is if I'm going into an area, I find out what, when I say going into an area, because I teach in different states, but particularly when I'm here in Kentucky, I know what the sounds are at night that could cause alarm. Obviously, owl sounds, if somebody's not familiar, that could be concerning. Coyote sounds here in Kentucky is problematic. There's whippoorwill sounds, depending on what time of year it is, or chuckwill's widow, one of those two. And insect noises. It's amazing. That's one of the things that came up this past weekend is that there was a lot of noise in the trees. And it was coming from tree frogs and it was coming from insect noises. And so what I'll do when I have an opportunity, and I did that this weekend, is I created a PowerPoint years ago that has literal photos of these animals that they're hearing. Like, I have photos of a barred owl, a screech owl, barn owl, and a great horned owl. I have their sounds. And so I will play their sounds so that they can hear them, and then I'll show them a picture of them. And I usually have that picture indexed with something so they know it's not some big velociraptor or something that's going to swoop in the middle of the night and take them out of their tent. You know, I mean, one of the ways that I love to do this is I love to show them a screech owl photo indexed with something. And because a little screech owl is a little bitty guy, not a whole lot bigger really than your hand. And so when I show this to people and I let them know that little sound that the screech owl makes, you know, that's a little sound. If you go back into Nature Reliance Media podcast early on, I have a podcast on owl sounds. So go back and listen to that because I've got all those recorded and played there for you. But nevertheless, when I show that, everybody's like, man, that's a cute little guy or, you know, something silly. It's something not to be afraid of. But if you hear that and you don't know what that is and you don't spend a lot of time in the outdoors, then that can be problematic.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey guys and gals, a quick break in our episode to talk about a game changer in outdoor cooking, the Fire Maple Backpacking and Camping Stove System. Whether you're hiking, fishing, or even prepping for emergencies, this portable pot and jet burner is a must-have in your gear. Best part? It's nearly half the price of a comparable JetBoil stove system. Thanks to its leading heat exchange technology, you'll experience reduced boiling times by up to 30% compared to traditional stoves, even in windy conditions. That means more time enjoying the outdoors and less time cooking. Are you ready to upgrade your outdoor cooking game? Click the link in the description now to grab yours. Trust me, your outdoor adventures will never be the same.
This was especially true of the coyotes. These young men in particular, and people do this all the time. We'll see this from all walks of life, are scared to death of coyotes. So they think of coyotes as being wolves, that they're going to come in, tear the tent down, jump up in the hammock, drag them out, and eat them alive. Okay. What I like to do is I have some video and audio sounds of coyotes doing what they do, and then I go through a more scientific description of what it is that coyotes do when they're making those sounds and why they're making those sounds, just so people know they're not, woo, you know, they're not doing their thing and they're saying, hey, let's go over into this camp and drag these kids out of their tents. Obviously I would never say that even in joking. I literally just go through a very dry scientific description of what's going on with the coyotes. That way they know, hey, it's just nature doing nature things. And that way, it eases their mind. And I've eased a lot of minds just going through that description and letting them hear that sound so that when they hear it later in the night, and that actually happened both Friday and Saturday nights for these young men, when they hear that, they go, hey, look, that's the coyotes. Listen, listen. And it's a good thing. So they catch it. And same thing happened. We did end up hearing a little screech owl. We didn't hear a barred owl, which I was really hoping, but we did hear a great horned owl. We heard a little screech owl. We heard coyotes, lots of insects, and lots of tree frogs. And so I just let people know that beforehand. And then also, if you're the mentor, if you're the leader, then it lets people know right off the bat, the first thing that's problematic that could cause fear, well, Craig's got this. Craig knows exactly what's going on out here. So they feel a little bit more comfortable with me as their leader in that particular setting. So number two, making people comfortable while they sleep is incredibly valuable. And so I'm a big fan of you carrying or bringing with you as much as you possibly can to make sure that those that are coming with you that are new are comfortable in the outdoors. So this particular crew had an RV that some of them were going to sleep in, but when they got there, they didn't realize that there's no electricity at this particular site. So they did have their tents, and I told them, you all need to be prepared to stay in tents. A couple of the mentors just couldn't grasp at that time. I mean, because they were remote, they're in Delaware, and I described what was going on there. There is no electricity. We're right on the creek. It's a remote setting, and we can set the camper up so it can be a base of operations, but you're not going to want to sleep in it in 90-degree heat because you're going to get too hot in there. One of the things that we did is we set their tents up, and this is something that's a little different for most people, is I tell them to take those rain covers off. and the screen that is above the tent, and in this particular case, these were all tents, some of the dew that comes in will come in and it'll actually cool people off. So again, it got up to 97 for us on Saturday, and it was in the 90s leading up into Friday night, the first night they were there. They wanted to have rain covers on, zipped all the way up, and they were going to get in there, and they were going to sweat, and they were going to get so hot that they were not going to get any sleep at all. And so my first recommendation to them, which is incredibly helpful, I've done this for years, is to take those rain covers off. I always keep them attached to the tent or to the hammock, depending upon what I'm sleeping in. That way, if it starts to literally rain in the middle of the night, I can get up rather quickly, just put it on, snap it back on, and we'll be good to go. And that way, we don't get incredibly soaking wet. With that said, the other thing that happened that was really interesting is these young men were a little bit overly concerned about the nighttime, and they weren't comfortable being on their own out in their own little tents. And so they ended up getting in the big tent with the other guys. I tried to get them to go to bed. I didn't want to force them to go to bed because it's their trip. I was there to serve them. I was there to be a drill sergeant. I was there to serve them and guide them with what skills I have. They were up about 11:30. I went on to bed. I had a pad that I just laid in the back of my truck and was sleeping on it. Somewhere around 12 o'clock, they woke me up singing and telling stories and all that stuff. And they ended up doing this till like 3 a.m. Now, I'm not certain, but I feel like a lot of that was due to the anxiety of being out. Matter of fact, I'm confident it was because of the anxiety being out. We had the next morning, we had to get up at 7 o'clock to go meet our friends at Canoe Kentucky to get on Elkhorn Creek and to go canoeing. What do you do in that situation? Well, here's what I did. I let them do what they wanted to do. I knew that the creek would wake them up because I knew getting in the water was going to be cool and they were going to be fine. They were going to get tired the next day. I knew that. That was expected. But I knew that even with little sleep, that we could get them up, put them on the creek, paddling the canoes, falling in the water, and all the stuff that they were going to do was going to wake them up. So I wasn't overly concerned. So I just let them do their thing. I didn't get all drill sergeant on them and say, you got to go to bed now. Because for them, they needed to adapt to their environment as best they could. There was no danger in doing what I did by letting them stay up. They end up staying up to like 3:30 in the morning. I think some of them even stayed up to 4 listening to music. But again, I let them do what they needed to do to overcome their anxiety, and it worked. That would be number 2 as far as some things as it relates to sleep. Now, eat, that I didn't have any control over this particular group's food, but what I did do is I made sure that we had plenty of good breaks where we just quit everything that we were doing. Hey, it's time to eat. So let's chill out. Let's eat. When we did it on the creek, we actually stopped at a rapid and everybody played in the rapid we hung out there for maybe an hour, hour and a half, just surfing the rapid, trying to swim through it. Some people go over to the bank, eat an apple, get back in the water. You know, it was a good time. We had a good time on the creek. And then at night, what we did is we made sure we had plenty of time to eat what they wanted to eat and what their mentors had brought them. But here's another thing, and this is true, and this is meme-worthy stuff right here. I put a meme up on our Facebook page recently, and this was one of the most liked memes that I'd put up, was something about, you know, give them a goal. And one of their mentors had already told them they were going to go to a particular restaurant. If they were professional, if they acted like young men instead of like a bunch of weirdos, they were going to be able to go to this particular restaurant after they left. And man, let me tell you, that worked exceptionally well as far as a motivator. That gave them a goal that in the middle of things, that when they were not going very comfortable, that gave them a goal of something to look forward to down the road. That was incredibly beneficial. And I was glad that the mentor, he had actually done that before they ever got to me. That was exceptionally intelligent on his part. They did really well with that. And as they left and got out of there on Sunday afternoon, and I stayed around and made doubly, triply checked everything to make sure we picked up all our trash and all that. I do that every class, no matter what class we have. I'm the last one to leave always, because I always do a sweep check on the trash and make sure we've got everything picked up and everything restored as best we can back to the way it was when we found it. And as I drove by that particular restaurant on the way out, there they were, chowing down. And I started once to just drop in on them just to see them being so happy, because I knew they were really excited. But for you, if you're mentoring a crew, then that might be something that you can do, is you can offer some sort of food source as a means of a motivator. Because people, if they eat good and they sleep good in the outdoors, then they're going to typically have a better time. If either one of those two things do not go very well, then it's going to be a rough time for people in the outdoors. Next is the fear of the unknown. One of the things that I usually do, if I have a group that I think are going to have high anxiety, one of the first questions I ask them when we get settled in, everybody gets tense and set up, is what kind of things concern you about being out here? Not what kind of things are you afraid of? Because again, people will oftentimes not admit to that. But what kind of things concern you about being out here? And then I have an answer for them. Now, obviously, I have spent a lot of time outdoors. I've spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of nights outside. And so I have a lot of experience that I can build upon and share with people. But that doesn't mean that you can't do your own diligent research and find out what kind of things that are in the neighborhood or in the area where you're going to be hanging out in the outdoors, camping, sleeping, rucking, whatever it is that you're doing, and find solutions for those problems. You know, having a remote camp is one. Some people are afraid that other people will come in there and get in their camp and cause problems. You know, having a remote camp is beneficial to that. Having a solution if somebody gets injured, so that we can talk about, hey, this is what we've got to do to get out of here. This is how we're going to do it. These are all things that are vitally important to being able to extract people in that sort of situation. But most importantly, ask them what their concerns are and then help them find solutions for them. Last but not least on this list is what I refer to as the pep talk. There's going to be moments in time. If you take somebody from an environment that they are used to being in and you put them in a totally different environment, they are going to be uncomfortable. Therefore, overcoming things that, you know, get to the point where, again, we say it at Nature Reliance School, it's just a thing. You know, if bad things are happening, it's just a thing. It's not something to be concerned about. You know, a lot of the pseudo military folks talk about embrace the suck. I do that too. I use that phrase all the time. You know, you got to learn how to embrace the suck, deal with the hardships. And one of the things that I try to do when I'm giving pep talks in times like this, and I had to do this a couple times with these young men because they just got to the point where they were done. I mean, there was a couple guys that they were pissed. They were very upset that they were there. And, you know, I just tried to appeal to whatever part of their background, their culture is hard. The things that they have to do that's hard, and tell them that this is just another version of that. Whether that's playing sports or whether that's just living daily life in a neighborhood where people regularly get shot, then I want to appeal to something in their known that relates to this new unknown. And that unknown, again, as I mentioned earlier, is one of the biggest things that you can help people overcome. And so that's what we want to do, is to, again, help people, give them a pep talk. But I go back again, this is very important. If you're just, hey, you'll be okay, everything's going to be just fine, there's a certain amount of trust that you get if you're in a position like me and you're working with people and those people know you well. But if it's a bunch of strangers, they don't trust you and they shouldn't. They don't trust me and they shouldn't, because they don't know me. They haven't developed a relationship with me. Now, there's been some things that I try to do, like I mentioned on Friday night with the nighttime sounds, that will set myself apart as an expert, if you will. I mean, I don't like calling myself an expert, but at least in the eyes of the people that I'm working with, if they can see, yeah, Craig really knows what he's doing here, then that helps to gain some trust. And so when I say do something, they typically do it. But that doesn't work for everybody, and it doesn't work for me either all the time. And so therefore, I want to see some things and hear some things that I already know that I can equate to my current situation. I hope that makes sense. Again, let's review real quick. Here's some five things that I say that are problematic for people to spending more time in the outdoors, and you can overcome them. Number one is nighttime sounds. I gave you some ideas on those. Make sure you get the number two is sleep. Make sure you get some good items to help people sleep. A good sleeping pad is more important than a good sleeping bag, in my opinion. Get the most expensive and best pad that you can afford. Then get a subpar sleeping bag, because getting off the ground is going to be more important than the sleeping bag for most. Eat good. Find some good, tasty treats. If, you know, if kids really like peanut butter and jelly, then by golly, take peanut butter and jelly and let them eat it any way they want to. Number four is fear of the unknown. So find out what kind of things that they fear or have concern with. Remember, use your words wisely there. Help them come up with solutions for those particular concerns. And number five, be ready to give a pep talk and don't assume that what works for you works for everybody. Find the things that are hard in other people's lives and then utilize those things to equate it to the current situation that they find themselves in. So yeah, this has been our first Craig's Campfire Chat. I'm glad you joined me. I really hope this helps you get people outdoors and helps them to spend more time outside in such a way that we can all gain the benefit in mind, body, and spirit that being in the outdoors brings to the table. So I really appreciate you listening in to the Nature Alliance Media Podcast. Don't forget to support our sponsors. Check those out. And we really appreciate everybody that is supporting and sharing what it is that we do here at Nature Alliance Media. That's one of the best things you can do for us, you all. Share this podcast on your social media. Tell people about it. Give it a thumbs up. Like it. If you have feedback for us, then please give us feedback because we cannot get better if you don't tell us what you want us to do. If it's something that we don't want to do or we can't do, we won't. But man, I'm telling you right now, if you send us some stuff, some information, go, hey, Craig, won't you do this in a podcast? Or, hey, Tracy, won't you cover this in a podcast? And it's something that we feel comfortable that we can do, we will do it. I promise you. So with that said, as all things with Nature Reliance School, come on, join in. Let's learn together. And that wraps up another fantastic episode of the Nature Reliance Podcast. I hope today's journey has inspired you to explore and connect with the natural world in new and exciting ways. Before I say goodbye, remember to check out the Nature Reliance School online membership. If today's episode sparked your interest in wilderness skills and outdoor adventures, this online community is the perfect place for you to start or continue your journey. You can currently sign up for a year for only $99 and get 2 months for free. Click the link below to discover a world of expert-led courses, engaging content, and a vibrant community eager to share their knowledge and experiences. Whether you're starting your outdoor journey or looking to deepen your existing skills, the Nature Reliance School online membership is here to guide you. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe for more adventures and share this podcast with your fellow nature enthusiasts. Until next time, come on, join in. Let's learn together.